Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. You are listening to Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation from Start to Finish. With me, your Book of Revelation research scientist, Dr. Nicole, and it is Sunday, May 22nd, 2022. It's 2:02 a.m. in Beijing, China, 3:02 a.m. in Tokyo, 5:02 a.m. in Sydney, 10:02 a.m. in Vancouver, 12:02 p.m. in Garland, Texas, 6:02 p.m. in Lagos, 6:02 p.m. in London, 7:02 p.m. in Berlin, 8:02 p.m. in Israel's Mount Megiddo, the site of the upcoming Battle of Armageddon, and 9:02 p.m. in Moscow, Russia. What time is it where you are, friend? Please text me to let me know that you are listening to us and that you are with us. I hope that you are looking forward to our program today. I have some exciting things to share with you. I want to begin with a prayer. The book of Revelation is unique, distinguished from other books in the Bible for many reasons. One of the reasons is that it is the only book for which we are told that there is a special blessing for both reading and hearing from it. Let's get that now. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "Blessed, happy to be envied, is the man who reads aloud in the assemblies the word of this prophecy. And blessed, happy to be envied are those who hear it read and who keep themselves true to the things which are written in it, heeding them and laying them to heart. For the time for them to be fulfilled is near." So I declare over you today, friend, that according to the word of God, you are blessed. You are happy to be envied because today you will hear the word of the prophecy of the book of Revelation, and I pray that you will keep yourself true to the things which are written in it. I pray that you will heed them. I pray that you will lay them to your heart because the time is indeed near for them to be fulfilled. Amen and amen. We are talking about today the dead judged prophecy in the book of Revelation. I want to begin with reading that prophecy to you and sharing the future prophecies that exist within the prophecy. Let's start with hearing the prophecy. It begins with verse 11 of chapter 20, and it concludes with verse 15. Reading from the Amplified Classic Translation and using words from the Bible as a title, we can think of this as the dead judged prophecy, beginning again with verse 11 of chapter 20 and reading from the Amplified Classic Translation. Let's hear it now. "Then I saw a great white throne and the one who was seated upon it, from whose presence and from the sight of whose face earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. I also saw the dead, great and small. They stood before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged, sentenced by what they had done, their whole way of feeling and acting, their aims and endeavors, in accordance with what was recorded in the books. And the sea delivered up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades, the state of death or disembodied existence, surrendered the dead in them, and all were tried and their cases determined by what they had done, according to their motives, aims, and works. Then death and Hades, the state of death or disembodied existence, were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found recorded in the book of life, he was hurled into the lake of fire." That is the dead judged prophecy. I want to share with you specifically, in layman's terms, what are the prophecies included? So the book of Revelation was written, it was penned by the Apostle John, and in it there are foundational elements as well as statements of prophecy. More than 2,000 years have passed since the book of Revelation was recorded, and that means that in it there are past, present, and future prophecies. So what do I mean by that? There are some prophecies which were in the future relative to the time at which they were written, but that time has passed relative to our time. There are also prophecies currently coming to pass. In other words, prophecies that are unfolding momentarily in our current time. And then there are, those would be present prophecies. Beyond the past prophecies and the present prophecies that exist in the book of Revelation, there are future prophecies. And so when we look at each statement of prophecy, and today we're focusing on the dead judged prophecy, an important question to pose and to answer is, what are the prophecies? And are they past, present, and or future prophecies? And so I want to share with you by my analysis what kind of prophecies exist in the dead judged prophecy that we heard, and specifically in layman's terms, what are they? So there are at least 13 prophecies. They are future prophecies in the dead judged prophecy. So when we look at the statement of prophecies, they begin with verse 1 of chapter 5 and end with verse 5 of chapter 22. And by my analysis, there are 10 statements prophecy. And I want to share more about those with you today. The dead judged prophecy is one of two statements of prophecy that exist at the end of the book of Revelation. So that means that there are 8 statements of prophecy that precede this specific statement of prophecy. All of the prophecies in the dead judged prophecy are future prophecies relative to today. So relative to May 22nd, 2022, all of these prophecies are in the future. In future months, when we examine, consider, and discuss other statements of prophecy, we'll see that many of those prophecies have already come to pass, so that there are many past prophecies in the book of Revelation, there are some present prophecies, and of course there are future prophecies. In this 9th statement of prophecy, the dead judged prophecy, all of these prophecies, by my analysis, are future prophecies. Let me share with you those prophecies in layman's terms. So number 1, there is one whose face earth and sky will flee away from. Right now, we exist on a fallen earth, and we have a current heaven where all of those who died in Christ, they live there in a disembodied state. And those who died without Christ, they also live in a disembodied state in another location, which is Hades. So there are two locations for those who have experienced the first death. In our future, in other statements of prophecy, it is revealed that the earth will flee and the sky will flee, and God will give us a new earth and a new sky, a new earth and a new heaven. So in this prophecy, in the dead judged prophecy, this specific prophecy is, there is one whose face, earth and sky will flee away from. In addition, at the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ, there are parts of the earth that will flee. So what is this telling us? There is one, an omnipotent one, whose face earth and sky will flee away from. Indeed, after the work of Jesus Christ, we learn after the work of Jesus Christ, after the dead have been judged, at the time when there is no longer any evil spirit, any evil person, any evil, at that time, God is able to give us a new earth and a new heaven and actually relocates his abode, which is currently physically located in heaven. But once the new earth and new heaven, the new sky are created, then we have a physical location, earth, that is suitable for the one whose face earth and sky will flee away from. And at that point, once there's a suitable earth, God moves his dwelling place from heaven to the new earth. He merges the current heaven onto the new earth and creates a new heaven. So we'll learn more about that when we look at the new earth prophecy. But in this dead judge prophecy, we are told there is one whose face earth and sky will flee away from. A second future prophecy, no place will be found for the earth and sky. So in the same way that you as a person who is in Christ will receive an incorruptible body, if you die in Christ before the second coming, that body goes through putrefaction. It disintegrates. It is assimilated into this current earth. Yet you continue seamlessly. You continue with your same mind, will, and emotions. We refer to that as your soul. Your spirit continues seamlessly after the first death. But ultimately, at the time of the second coming, you will receive an incorruptible, immortal body. And in the same way that your first body will exist no more, the first earth and the current sky will exist no more. That's in our future. So the second prophecy in the dead judge prophecy, no place will be found for the earth and sky. The former order of things will pass away, and this current earth and current sky will also pass away. We'll have a new earth and a new heaven. That's discussed in great detail in the new earth statement of prophecy, but it's also asserted in this dead judge prophecy. The details aren't provided, but that assertion is made. What's a third future prophecy? It is the one whose face earth and sky will flee away from will sit on a great white throne. So there is a great white throne, and the omnipotent one will sit on that great white throne. Number four, the dead, great and small, will stand before the great white. That's important to know. Let's get into what do we mean by that? The dead, great and small, will stand before the great white throne. And these are not prophecies that I have personally generated. This is not information that stems from any other source other than the Bible. So these specific prophecies are located in the dead judge prophecy. I am pulling them out. I am enumerating them for purposes of discussion and analysis. So In the dead judge prophecy, we heard that the dead, great and small, will stand before the great white throne. So who are the dead? Let's look at those specific prophecies in that statement of prophecy. So first, all nations will deliver up each person who experienced the first death, who died without Christ. These individuals will be restored to life for the purpose of having their case determined. So the sea is used as a metaphor in the book of Revelation and elsewhere in the Bible as a metaphor for the nations. So there are many nations. There's the United States of America. There's Mexico is another nation. Russia is another nation. Great Britain is another nation. Ireland is another nation. Nigeria is another nation. South Africa is another nation. I could go on and on. All nations, those that currently exist and nations that no longer exist, all nations that have existed and that exist at the time of Christ, who had within them individuals who experienced the first death, those nations will deliver up those individuals if they died without Christ. Let me further explain. The dead judged prophecy happens 1,000 years after the second coming of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ returns, caught up into the air to meet him will be all who died in Christ, as well as immediately following those individuals who experienced the first death will be all individuals who are in Christ on the earth at the time of the second coming. Those two groups of individuals, those who died in Christ but who are currently disembodied and physically located in heaven, as well as those who are physically located on the earth and who are in Christ at the time of the second coming, they haven't taken the mark of the beast, they have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of them. Hopefully, they are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, but all individuals who are saved, who are in Christ, in right standing with God through the work of the cross, the blood of Jesus Christ has paid for their sin debts, their cases have been determined, their sins have been blotted out. That's what happens when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. One of the many things that happens is that all of your sins that are recorded in your book that exists in heaven, those sins are blotted out. And your name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. So those individuals, we are restored to life. If we have experienced the second death, we are restored to life, an immortal life, an immortal body, an incorruptible body, an imperishable body. Jesus Christ was the firstborn of the dead, the first to be brought back to life. And those who are in Christ, whether disembodied in heaven or on the earth at the time of the second coming, all who are in those two groups are restored to life again at the time of the second coming, immediately prior to the Battle of Armageddon. 1,000 years on this current earth, 1,000 years will occur with Jesus Christ reigning. At the end of the 1,000 years, and that 1,000 years is discussed in the statement of prophecy immediately preceding the dead judged prophecy. the dragon-bound prophecy, at the end of the 1,000 years, the dragon who is bound, the dragon is Satan. He's released for a short time. That's discussed in the dragon-bound prophecy. And he's thrown into the lake of fire. In addition, and importantly, the dead judged prophecy begins. So it is a future prophecy relative to our time. But in the future, it will be a present experience. It's an event that is sure to come to pass. So in our future, after we have ruled and reigned with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years on this current earth, the great white throne judgment occurs. So notice, I want to read this last prophecy again. This prophecy says the dead, great and small, will stand before the great white throne. At that point, all who were in Christ are alive and in an incorruptible, immortal, and imperishable body. So what that means is that the dead does not refer to any individual who is in Christ. It does not refer to any individual whose name was recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. So let me read this fifth statement of prophecy again. All nations will deliver up each person who experienced the first death, who died without Christ. These individuals will be restored to life for the purpose of having their case determined. Another prophecy in the dead judge statement of prophecy is this: death, who has all who have experienced the first death and who have not been restored to life yet, will deliver up these individuals. So God is telling us in three different ways who the dead are and who will be restored to life again. So first, God tells us all nations will deliver up each person who experienced the first death, who died without Christ. And then we're told death, who has all who have experienced the first death and who have not been restored to life yet, will deliver up these individuals. So this is the same thing, but it's another way of looking at it. So whether a person lived in a country that no longer exists, or a nation that currently exist and they died, those individuals are going to be restored to life again. Said a second way, all who have died. So death is a storage tank metaphorically. So physically, when a person dies, the individual as a disembodied spirit goes to Hades, if the individual is not in Christ and dwells there until the time of the great white throne judgment, or an individual goes to heaven and dwells there until the time of the second coming. So if an individual has not been restored to life again, that individual continues to dwell as a disembodied spirit and soul in Hades and will be restored to life again at the time of the great white throne judgment. In that way, death still has the person. Death has been abolished. And for those who are in Christ, there's an annulment. Death is annulled for every person who is in Christ, every person who is in right standing with God, and all individuals in Christ, because death has been annulled, all individuals in Christ will receive an incorruptible, imperishable, glorified body. The rest the rest of humanity, all individuals who have experienced the first death, death still has them at the time of the second coming. They don't receive an incorruptible body. So death still has them. Hence this additional prophecy in the dead judge statement of prophecy, which is death, who has all who have experienced the first death and who have not been restored to life yet, will deliver up these individuals. These individuals will be restored to life again. What else? There are more prophecies in this dead judged prophecy. Let's talk about them. Let's make sure we understand what is going to happen, what is in the future, what this dead judged prophecy is communicating to us. We also learn that first, books will be opened on the day of the great white throne judgment. Let me read that prophecy that exists in the dead judge prophecy again in layman's terms. First, books will be opened on the day of the great white throne judgment. Second, after the books are opened at the great white throne judgment, the book of life will be opened. These are two very important prophecies. Number one, there are books. And these books are important because they contain information that is relevant to decision making about the future of every person who will be sentenced at the great white throne judgment. Now, what is in these books? Let's read that prophecy. Recorded in the books that are opened first, individual, great and small, has done each individual's whole way of feeling and acting, each individual's aims, each individual's motives, each individual's endeavors, and each individual's works. I want to read those two prophecies in order so that we make sure that we understand what is happening. So what is happening at the time of the great white throne judgment? First, books will be opened on the day of the great white throne judgment. Recorded in these books that are opened first are what each individual has done, the individual's whole way of feeling and acting, the individual's aims, the individual's motives, the individual's endeavors, and the individual's works. Remember, the Great White Throne Judgment is limited to those who were dead, those who have not been restored to life again until this time. They are restored to life again specifically for the purpose of determining whether the individual is allowed to continue on the new earth that will be generated immediately following the great white throne judgment. If an individual is determined to not be suitable for the new earth, the individual is thrown into the lake of fire. When the new earth comes, there will be a new earth and a new heaven. There will never be war again. There will never be disease again. No evil thing, no evil person, no evil spirit will exist on the new earth. It will be a time of peace. It will be a time of harmony. It will be an earth where animals no longer eat each other. We learn this in other books in the Bible. God himself will live on the new earth, and we will see his face. So if God is on the new earth, no evil thing can exist and be there on the new earth. And so going back to where we are with our discussion of the dead judged prophecy, in a person's book, in these books, everything that an individual has done, every motive, every aim, every work is recorded. This is important because when you think about life, thinking of each of us, those who are in Christ and those who are yet to be in Christ, there's no doubt in my mind that there are many excellent works that you have committed. Maybe you have helped the poor. Maybe you have given time to the sick. Maybe you have shared your resources and your time and your counsel with young men and women in your neighborhood or at your church or at your mosque or at another location. Perhaps you are an excellent son or daughter. You have loved your mother with your heart and soul. You loved your father with your heart and soul. You have taken excellent care of your mother or father or maybe a niece or a nephew. Maybe you're a person who works with excellence and you go to work and you work hard and you are honest and you are diligent. There's no doubt in my mind that whether you are in Christ or outside of Christ, that there are good works, there are excellent works that you have done. Same for me. At the same time, there are things that I have done. There are sins. What's a sin? A sin is something that separates us from God. God gave us the Ten Commandments, and people have tried to live up to what is written at the Ten Commandments, and truly, a key function of the Ten Commandments is to reveal to us that the law is so perfect, and we are imperfect and incapable of being declared righteous relative to what is required by the law. All have fallen short of what is recorded in the Ten Commandments except for Jesus Christ, who died having committed no sin. If an individual is not in Christ, in addition to all the good works that he or she has engaged in, any evil work, any evil motive, any evil endeavor, any aim that was outside of the will of God and contrary to the ways of God, those deeds, those motives, those endeavors, those works, those sins are recorded in the book. Now, in contrast to other religions which say that, there's one religion that says as long as 50.00001% of your deeds are good, then you go to paradise. As long as you have more good deeds than bad deeds. That's a lie, friend. The truth is that God is perfect. God is free of sin. And in order to be in right standing with God, we also have to be perfected. So right now, we are not perfect, but we are being perfected. One of the ways, the most important way that we are perfected is through the blood of Jesus Christ. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, our sin debt is paid. Our past, present, and future sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. So he or she who sins experiences death, except for God sending Jesus Christ, being put in the form of a human and dying on the cross, having committed no sin. Therefore, when Jesus did that, he received the keys to death and Hades. He has those keys. This allowed him to take back what was lost. There are many things that was lost. The most important thing is God's perfect plan for you to live and dwell on a perfect earth in a perfect body. What do I mean by a perfect body? A body that will never perish, a body that is immortal, a body that will never be subject to death or deterioration due to Alzheimer's or dementia or multiple sclerosis or an accident which maybe severs a limb due to degradation of muscles or joints. God's perfect will is for you to have a perfect body with DNA that has no errors in it. Our DNA has errors in it because of the curse. You get hair discoloration, or people experience hair discoloration. People experience a loss of vision. People experience back pain. People experience cancer. People experience diabetes. This is not God's best for you. In your future, God's best awaits you. You have to decide, each person has to decide whether he or she will be restored to life again for the purposes of receiving an incorruptible body, a glorified body, an immortal body, and ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ for the eternities of eternities, and dwelling not only for the 1,000 years that follows the second coming of Jesus Christ, his triumph at the Battle of Armageddon, the 1,000 years during which Satan will be bound, and at the end of which Satan will be thrown into the lake of fire. And now we're here at the time of the great white throne judgment, which is noted in this dead judged prophecy. Each individual must decide when he or she will be restored to life again. No one else gets to decide that for you. Now, what happens if you are restored to life again at the time of the great white throne judgment? In other words, if you experience the first death prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ, you will go to either one of two locations. As a disembodied soul, you will go to Hades, which is the location for all who die, who experience the first death, who are not in Christ, or you will go to heaven, where you will exist as a disembodied soul, Jesus Christ, and with God, who are in heaven. If you are restored to life again at the time of the great white throne judgment, because you chose to reject Christ, and you said, you know, I know that the wages of sin is death, or maybe you don't know that. Maybe this is your first time hearing that, but indeed, the truth is that the wages of sin is death, and now you're at the great white throne judgment. What will happen? Let's read those specific prophecies. What will happen? Three important things will happen at the great white throne judgment. Death will be put to death and thrown into the lake of fire. We say, Dr. Nicole, I don't understand that. That doesn't make sense to me. There is coming a time in the future where death will no longer exist. Death is part of what in the future is referred to as the old order of things. So God's best, God's plan is for every human being to have life everlasting in a perfect, glorified body on a perfected earth, and a new sky, a new heaven. Each individual must decide whether he or she wants to align himself or herself, wants to cooperate, wants to participate in God's perfect plan for his or her life. At the time of the great white throne judgment, death, and Jesus has the keys to Hades and death, death will be put to death and thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire will burn for the eternities of eternities, and it is the second death. What's the second thing that's going to be thrown into the lake of fire? Hades. Hades will be put to death and thrown into the lake of fire. You say, well, if death is not going to exist anymore, what are you talking about? The Bible tells us that there's the first death and there's the second death. Specifically, the Bible uses the language the second death. So I'm saying the first death to distinguish the two. The Bible refers to being dead and the first death as being asleep. That's the metaphor used for the first death in the Bible, asleep. And the Bible refers to the lake of fire that will burn forever and ever as the second death. This is the real death. The second death is the real death. You say, well, Dr. Nicole, what do you mean by that? To be asleep is to experience the first death, which is simply the deterioration, the giving up of a soul, the deterioration of the current body, which has errors in it, which has imperfect DNA, a body which is subject to illness, a body which is subject to disease, a body which is mortal. This body is temporary. It is merely the reality in a form. It's the reality of God's future for you in a form, but not a perfect form. So what I'm attempting to communicate is that you have a body that awaits you, a body that is similar to your current body, but it's the best version of it. It's the version that never gets tired. It's the version that will allow you to run like the wind. Maybe you say, I was born without two legs, or I was born without an eye, or I was born and I've struggled with schizophrenia, or I've struggled with OCD, or I've struggled with fill in the blank, friend. There are hundreds and thousands of physiological and psychological disorders due to the curse, the fallen state of the earth, the fallen state of man at this time. But the good news is that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and my sins. And importantly, what this means is that Jesus Christ has abolished death. So death is not really death. It's falling asleep. And that's why God uses that language, asleep. He says over and over again in the Bible, so-and-so has simply fallen asleep. David has fallen asleep. So-and-so has fallen asleep. When you die, you continue. You have a seamless continuity of your spirit, seamless continuity of your soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions. But you are disembodied. However, surely all human beings will be restored to life again, either at time one, that's the second coming of Jesus Christ, or time two, that's this time, the time of the dead judged prophecy. So death, let me read this prophecy in the statement of prophecy. So a statement of prophecy has a series of statements. Here's one of the specific prophecies. Death will be put to death and thrown into the lake of fire. So death will experience the second death, which is the only death that will be permitted to exist. When this whole idea of a human being having a body that can die, that is the first death, and that is being put to death. God says, no more. Now that every evil thing, Satan has been thrown into the lake of fire, the Antichrist and the false prophet are thrown into the lake of fire, we learn in Revelation 19, at the time of the Battle of Armageddon. Every person who refused to repent of their sin, to acknowledge God, and to get in right standing with God and accept Jesus Christ as his or her Lord and Savior, they will be thrown into the lake of fire. At that point, no evil thing exists. So death is going to be thrown into the lake of fire. That's a death is an evil thing. Death is not God's best. If you, being a human with a love that is less than God's love, and you might say, well, I love my mom, I love my dad, I love my sister, I love so-and-so. Maybe there's a list of dozens or hundreds of people that you love. God's love is so great that he loves you with a consuming supernatural love. He neither sleeps nor slumbers. He's numbered the hairs on your head. He is obsessed with your success, with your well-being, and your future. That obsession, that love, that compassion led him to come to the earth and to take back what was stolen. Well, what was stolen? Your ability to be born. Your ability to be born in God's image. You and I were born in Adam's image. What does that mean? We lost our sonship. We lost our daughtership. That means that we're in these incorruptible, we're not yet in our incorruptible bodies. We're in this corruptible body. Adam went from having an incorruptible body, and then as a result of sin, he went from having an incorruptible body to having a corruptible body. The same with Eve. As a result of sin, Eve went from being in an incorruptible body to being in a corruptible body. And so Adam carried the seed. And from that point on, every person was born in Adam's image instead of being born in God's image. And that means that we are subject to the wages of sin, which is death. But death has been annulled, and we see here in this prophecy that death is going into the lake of fire. What else? Hades will be put to death and thrown into the lake of fire. So not only is death going into the lake of fire, which is the second death, Hades, the physical location, there's a physical location named Hades where all individuals who are disembodied, who died without Christ, where they dwell there as a soul and spirit. Instead of having three parts, they just have the two, but they're restored to life again, having all three parts, body, spirit, and soul at the time of the dead judged prophecy, which is the great white throne judgment. What's the third thing that will experience the second death? Death will be put to death, experiencing the second death and thrown into the lake of fire. Number two, Hades will be put to death and thrown into the lake of fire. That's the second death. And number three, this is the most important prophecy in the dead judged prophecy, which is a statement of prophecy. So that means it includes many prophecies that surround a particular theme or set of themes. This specific prophecy, in my opinion, is the most important prophecy in the dead judged prophecy. All whose names are not in the Lamb's Book of Life will be sentenced and put to death with the second death, the lake of fire. Let me read that again. All whose names are not in the Lamb's Book of Life will be sentenced and put to death with the second death, the lake of fire. When you die and experience the first death, if I die and experience the first death because I'm not here at the time of the second coming, if you die and experience the second death, excuse me, the first death because you're not here at the time of the second coming, this is not a true death in the sense that we're merely asleep. We're merely asleep, and necessarily, for sure, every statement in the book of Revelation, every statement of prophecy is sure to come to pass. we are assured that we will necessarily be restored to life again. So repeatedly, and I talked about this in our talk and discussion last week, repeatedly the Bible refers to a person who has died as being asleep. Why? Because that death, the first death, has actually been annulled. Every person, therefore, will be restored to life again. And I talked last week, we're on a new discussion this week, but I talked about what that annulment means. I talked about what it means that death was abolished, went into great detail about that. Today, we are focusing on the reality that all will be restored to life again. My perspective, my perception is that this is the most important prophecy. So if your name is not in the Lamb's Book of Life, you will be sentenced and put to death with the second death, the lake of fire. So in other words, it is not a big deal to die. It's a big deal for those of us who are here and we have experienced the loss of a loved one. That's a very big deal. That's grief, that's mourning, that's sadness, that's frustration, that's so many distressing and negative emotions. But for those of us who have knowledge of Christ, and we went beyond knowledge of Christ to being in Christ, in other words, we have experienced salvation. What does that mean? We accepted, we repented of our sins, we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We have made Jesus the Lord of our life. The Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of us. And most importantly, now we are in right standing with God because all of our sins, so just like those who come with the dead judge prophecy at this great white throne judgment, we all have both good and bad works. We have motives that were appropriate, proper, good, very good, maybe even excellent, but we have certainly had motives that were inappropriate. We've had endeavors and works that were inappropriate outside of the will of God. Let's talk about this. Your case. These cases that are going to be judged. So if you died in Christ, your case with respect to whether you're going to be whether you're going to receive an incorruptible body and whether you will avoid the second death, that's been decided and your name's recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that's why you get your incorruptible body. So that part of your case has already been decided. A second part of your case is, what are your rewards? What are your rewards? What wages will you be given as a result of your works? In the conclusion of the book of Revelation, Jesus says, "Behold, I am coming soon, and I shall bring my wages and rewards with me to repay and render to each one just what his own actions and his own work merit." That's your case right there. That's your case right there. Now, some people say to me, "Dr. Nicole, the most important thing is for people to be saved." In other words, for people to have their name recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, to have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and therefore their sins are blotted out in their book. Their sins are blotted out, and God says, "I will remember them no more because the blood of Jesus has paid for your sins." So that part of your case has been decided. If you're in Christ, your case, the second part, wages and rewards, that happens at the time of the second coming. So Jesus says, "You will rule and reign with me for 1,000 years and live with me on the earth for the eternities of the eternities." Well, what does that mean to rule and reign? Well, there's going to be a new government. People have to be in certain positions. People need to be in certain locations. So wages and rewards reflect your case. Now, specifically what your wages are going to be and what your rewards will be, I have not done a thorough study and examination of them, and I can't tell you today exactly what they are, but imagine if man is able to pay you an excellent wage and to reward you with gifts that matter to you, things that make you happy, imagine what God will have for you. So you get wages and rewards as a result of cooperation with God's plan for your life. You can't work your way into the Lamb's Book of Life. Let's not be confused about that. You can't work your way until salvation. This is not that religion where they say if you have 50.0001% good deeds, that outweighs the bad, and therefore you'll be in paradise, and if you're a man, you're going to get 40 virgins. No, that's a deception. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. If you have even one sin, you will not be allowed to be on the new earth. Specifically, the prophecy says, all whose name is not in the Lamb's Book of Life will be sentenced and put to death with the second death, the lake of fire. Let's talk about this case. You might say, I don't believe in this. Well, what if I said to you, I don't believe in the concept of a round earth. I don't believe that there are planets other than Earth. I don't believe, and we could list any number of truths that for whatever reason I choose not to believe in. The fact that you or another person declares that he or she doesn't believe in something doesn't negate the reality of its truth. That doesn't negate the reality of its existence. God says, he who lacks wisdom, let him ask, and I will give it to him liberally. The Bible says, the fool says in his heart that there is no God. The Bible says that every prophecy in the book of Revelation is sure to come to pass. Let's talk about these cases. Recorded in the books that are open first are what each individual, great and small, has done, each individual's whole way of feeling and acting, each individual's aims, each individual's motives, each individual's endeavors, and each individual's works. So I shared that earlier. Again, I have shared with you and focused in our discussion today on sharing in layman's terms the 13 future prophecies that are noted in the Dead Judge Statement of Prophecy. It is the top of the hour. And that means that if you have a call, I will be taking your call. You can reach me live, 1-319-527-6027 is our PGN phone number. You can reach me at 1-319-527-6027. Maybe you have a question about one of these 13 prophecies or the Dead Judged Prophecy. I want to share some details about how to make sense of this Dead Judged Prophecy. In the book of Revelation, there are statements of prophecy. By my analysis, as a research scientist, there are 10 statements of prophecy. They begin with verse 1 of chapter 5 and end with verse 5 of chapter 22. Let us examine what the book of Revelation tells us about the statements of prophecy. In verse 18 of chapter 22, John says, I personally solemnly warn everyone who listens to the statements of the prophecy, the predictions and the consolations and admonitions pertaining to them in this book. And then he says some other things. Key point, I personally solemnly warn everyone who listens to the statements of the prophecy in this book. So John is communicating to us that there are statements of prophecy, that statements with an S, plural, in the book of Revelation. What's a statement of prophecy? A statement of prophecy is a series of prophecies surrounding a theme, a singular theme, or a set of related themes focused on predictions, consolations, and admonitions pertaining to them. So a prediction is a forecast about something in the future. Usually predictions are based on data analyses. For us, we know that the book of Revelation, all the predictions are based on God's knowledge. So God knows the end from the beginning. And so he shares with us through John information about the future. God also shares with us consolations. So consolations are words used to provide hope in the face of distressing information. So when somebody's sad, we want to console the person. When we are sad, God wants to console us. In the book of Revelation, we're told that the time is coming where things will be brought to a crisis. In the dragon power statement of prophecy, we learn about Satan's wrath, the great tribulation, and we learn in the 1,260 days statement of prophecy what specifically will happen to Israel during the great tribulation, what will happen to the saints, those who are in Christ at the time of Satan's wrath, the great tribulation. These are difficult days that we are experiencing now and even more difficult days in our future. God consoles us with the statements of prophecy in the book of Revelation. God also provides admonitions, warnings. So in the statements of prophecy, there are again 10 by my analysis. The dead judge prophecy, the focus of our discussion today is the ninth statement of prophecy. It's one of two at the end of the book of Revelation that focus on the future, focus on what happens right before the beginning of the eternities of eternities, what happens right at the end of the millennial reign, and then what happens after we get the new earth. How do we get the new earth and the new heaven? These two prophecies focus on that. There are statements of prophecy in the book of Revelation. Again, John says, I personally solemnly warn everyone who listens to the statements of the prophecy. And then further, John also shares in verse 6 of chapter 22, the last chapter of the book, and he of the seven angels further said to me, these statements, and he's talking about the statements of prophecy, are reliable, worthy of confidence, and genuine, true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his messenger angel to make known and exhibit to his servants what must soon come to pass. So the take-home point for us to remember from that is that there are statements of prophecy in the book of Revelation. John tells us that, and that the statements are reliable, worthy of confidence, and genuine, true. So what does that mean for you and for me? That means that although the time is drawing near for things to be brought to a crisis, we don't have to wonder what is in our future. You know, and I know, because we have the statements of prophecy in the book of Revelation, and we learned in this dead judge prophecy, we know that for sure every person will be restored to life again, with the exception of the Antichrist and the false prophet who experienced the second death at the time of the Battle of Armageddon. We know that death is going to have to deliver up every person who has experienced the first death, every person who has fallen asleep. Hades, the location where the dead exist at the time of the Great White Throat Judgment, will deliver up all of those individuals. And death will be thrown into the lake of fire. Hades will be thrown into the lake of fire. And an individual who is restored to life again, but whose name is not in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if you are restored to life again at the time of the Great White Throne Judgment, that means that your name is not in the Lamb's Book of Life. You will be thrown into the lake of fire. Let me say that again. If you are restored to life again at time two, the time of the Great White Throne Judgment, which is described in detail in the Dead Judged Prophecy in the Book of Revelation, that means that your name is not recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. And specifically, that prophecy ends with this verse, verse 15 of chapter 20. And if anyone's name was not found recorded in the Book of Life, he was hurled into the lake of fire. I want you to think about that, friend. There's nothing more important from my perspective that I can talk to you about than the decision that will allow you to experience life in a perfect, immortal, glorified, perfected body. So you, your same soul, in other words, your same mind, will, and emotions, you are a spirit man. So you're three parts, body, spirit, and soul, and you in a body. There's nothing more important for me to talk to you about from my perspective than what is going to happen to you as a three-part, three-dimensional, three compelling aspects as a three-in-one human being. So if you die at the age of 102, and maybe that's next year for you, or maybe you die at 88, maybe you die at 13, I don't know. Whenever you experience the first death, you are merely asleep. The Bible uses that language repeatedly. Why? Because you will necessarily be restored to life again. Restored to life again to receive a perfected, incorruptible body that will allow you to dwell on the new earth, and restored to life again at the time of the second coming. We're talking about the same event right now. And you will be evaluated. You will experience a judgment. Jesus is bringing wages and rewards to repay and render to each one specifically just what his own actions and his own work merit. So I don't know what rewards, if any, or wages, if any, you will receive at that time. So you have to decide if that's going to happen for you, or are you going to be restored to life again at the time of the Great White Throne Judgment, which is described in great detail in the Dead Judged Prophecy. My perception is that an inferior choice is to reject Jesus Christ and to say that, and when I say to say, I need to rephrase that. An inferior choice is to reject Jesus Christ, which means that your case will be determined by your own actions. If you have any action that is a sin that warrants being disallowed to persist, to continue when the new earth is generated immediately following the Great White Throne Judgment. You might say, well, I don't agree with that decision. I don't like that. That doesn't make sense to me. I don't get to decide this. You don't get to decide this. The Creator decides this. And God is a just God. God is a loving God. God is doing everything in his power to get your attention and to get this information to you. There are all kinds of questions that are important that I can't answer. But an important question, the most important question that I can answer, is how and when will I be restored to life again? And the answer to that question is, you will be restored to life again at the time of the second coming if you are in Christ, or you will be restored to life again at the time of the great white throne judgment. These are facts. These are statements of prophecy. These are realities communicated in the book of Revelation for purposes of providing a prediction, a consolation, and an admonition for you and me about our decision-making with respect to eternity. So I'm so excited to have had the opportunity to discuss this prophecy, the Dead Judge prophecy, with you today. Coming up for the month of May, each Sunday at 12 noon Texas time, 1 p.m. Eastern time, I will be sharing new insights, new information, new analysis about the Dead Judge prophecy, one of 10 statements of prophecy in the book of Revelation. I want to briefly share with you the 10 statements of prophecy by my analysis that exist in the book of Revelation and communicate upcoming plans for more discussion about these specific statements of prophecy. The first statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation is the seven seals. The second statement of prophecy is the seven trumpets. The third statement of prophecy is the 1,260 days. The fourth statement of prophecy is the dragon power prophecy. The fifth statement of prophecy is the lamb stood. Statement of prophecy is the seven plagues prophecy. The eighth statement of prophecy, I think I got out of order with my numbers. Let me back up. The sixth statement of prophecy is the seven plagues. The seventh statement of prophecy is the omnipotent reigns prophecy. The eighth statement of prophecy is the dragon bound prophecy. And as you know, the ninth statement of prophecy is the dead judge prophecy, which we've been talking about today. And the final statement of prophecy, the really, really super exciting and the hopeful statement of prophecy, is the new earth statement of prophecy. That's the 10th and final statement of prophecy. It begins in Revelation chapter 21 with verse 1. Friend, if you have any kind of grief that you're going through, perhaps you've lost a loved one, perhaps you're in grief because you yourself, your body is not where it needs to be, or maybe you might be young or you might be old, and perhaps you have illness, or maybe your body doesn't have a specific illness, but it's just wearing out due to the ravages of time during this stage of life. I encourage you to get in the book of Revelation. Go specifically to chapter 21, verse 1. Begin with chapter 21, verse 1, and read until verse 5 of chapter 22. That's the new earth prophecy. In my personal experience, it's impossible to stay in hopelessness and grief when the Word of God, specifically the New Earth prophecy, when you hear that, when you read that, hope will spring up inside of you. The Word of God is true, and when you hear it, your spirit man recognizes it. The truths discussed in the New Earth statement of prophecy are so compelling. Every person who is in Christ, currently disembodied in heaven, that you are missing, maybe the person had a tragic death, maybe it was unexpected, maybe it was expected, but the person suffered for weeks and months and or years. When you read the New Earth prophecy, it gives you a new perspective. You begin to see that, just as discussed in the New Testament, and he said, I consider these light afflictions, momentary afflictions. And he had suffered. He had been in jail, all these things. when you think about the reality that God's plan for you is not to live 120 years, that sounds fantastic and magnificent to me. But if you love someone and you're for the person, what would be the point of living life, reaching a peak, and then falling from your peak and passing away? What would be the point of that? If you love a person, you want the person to continue to thrive and to grow and to exist forever and ever and ever. You never want to be without someone you love. God has a mind and a purpose and a heart focused on you. He wants you to live forever and ever. He wants to be your God forever and ever. He wants to love on you forever and ever. He wants you to have a perfect body that allows you to dwell on the earth with him and with your loved ones and with every human being forever and ever. Not all will be a part of God's perfect plan. It's possible to reject God's perfect plan. I hope that you will take this information and use it to inform your decision-making about when you will be restored to life again. Coming up in the month of June, I will be talking about the New Earth Statement of Prophecy in the Book of Revelation. Next week, I'll be back with more insights, new analysis, and new discussion on the dead judged statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation. I want to thank you for being with me and with us today. I want to declare that you are blessed because you have heard the words of the statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation. So thank you for being with me and being with us. Until next time, friend, take care.